Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello and welcome to Runners World Podcast with me, Rick Pearson.
And me, Ben Hobson.
Today we're talking about running and mental health with three people who'll be running for Samaritans at this year's London Marathon.
Samaritans are the title sponsor this year. There's a roll-in year, everyone has a little go, and this year, Samaritans. A great cause.
Yeah, a great charity.
A truly great cause. And actually really lovely to have three people come in, as you're here, to talk to us. Runners who are just taking on the marathon in a variety of different ways for a variety of different reasons, but all centered around the work that Samaritans do and how Samaritans have helped them and how now they have a role within the Samaritans. So it's full circle Samaritan stuff.
It is.
And it's lovely. And we talked to Andy, who's carrying a bag of great weight around the London Marathon as a indicator of the baggage that we all carry around with us.
Yeah.
And it's heavy.
Oh, it is heavy, yeah.
24.7 kilos. Because Samaritans is open 24/7.
Very good, yeah.
Right?
That's right.
Tamsin came in to talk about her life and why she's running, as did Saskia. So three great stories, three great motivational tales about running and the good it can do, but also the good that the Samaritans do when it comes to helping those who are in need. Just as a couple of warnings, we do talk about suicide, not in detail, but the conversations do centre around suicide at points and also people experiencing poor mental health. So if you are listening and you are struggling with any of those things.
Yeah, if you've been affected by any of the topics discussed on this week's episode, Samaritans trained listening volunteers are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Calls are completely confidential and free of charge. Just call 116 123.
Let's get our guests on.
All right. Welcome to the Runners World Podcast, Saskia, Andy and Tamsin. Thanks very, very much for coming in. Let's start with you, Andy. Why are you running the London Marathon this year?
It's a very good question. I've been asking myself that a few times. I'm here with Samaritans. Samaritans are the charity of the year this year. And yeah, it's an absolute privilege to be running for Samaritans. So I'm a volunteer, also work for Samaritans. And I love running sometimes and yeah, it's just it's a fantastic opportunity and such an iconic race to be supporting a cause that is so close to my heart in so many different ways.
And you're doing it with the bag as well, aren't you? You're running around with a 24.7 kilogram sandbag.
Yes.
Tell us. I'm running about
that. It's a 24.7 kilogram sandbag, or my big bag of worries, as I call it. So I don't know if you've ever, it's a children's book that's very much about big bag of worries, and used to read to my daughter. And it's basically to represent all that worry, all the stuff we carry on our shoulders that people can't see. It's a visual representation of that emotional weight that drags us down, that holds us back, and that makes everything so much harder. You know, running a marathon with a sandbag is making everything harder, and that's what our emotional health does when it's not in a great place. It makes everything difficult, it weighs us down, and it's to encourage conversation like this. So yeah,
that's great. I mean, there's nothing better than a massive visual cue of probably a man struggling at mile 20 with a huge bag for everyone to go, what's he doing that for?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, let's face it. I'm quite a large, overweight, middle-aged man. So I'm not I'm not going to be at the front of the pack regardless. So it does open up a few questions as to what you're doing, why you're doing it. And again, it's been, even training, it's been fantastic because people stop and say, what are you doing? Yeah. Do you want a hand getting back up off the floor? That kind of thing. And it's been great to have that kind of conversation with complete strangers about mental health, my own mental health, their mental health. So yeah, it's been really good.
That's fantastic.
And Saskia, how about yourself? What's your motivation for doing London this year?
So I'm running in memory of my father, who we lost in 2010, which was a huge shock. Nothing obviously prepares you ever for the loss of a loved one. But yeah, so I was 11 at the time, and kind of the conversation around mental health, Samaritans as a charity, is only something that I've really kind of started kind of looking into over the past couple of years. I actually entered the marathon on what would have been my dad's 66th birthday last year on May the 29th. So then 3 days later, getting an email being like, you've got a place in the marathon. I was a bit like, oh my God, what is going on? But yeah, really exciting and feels like such a privilege. And kind of over the past 3 years, I've been setting various mental health, mental and physical goals to try and channel kind of that energy and into something that pushes myself, but that I feel like, you know, has a great outcome, whether that's fundraising or encouraging conversation. So I did a 12-kilometer trail run on Dartmoor 2 years ago. At the time, I was like, I don't think I could ever run anything further than that. The year after, I did the London Landmarks for Samaritans. And then this year, I'm obviously running London, which kind of shows like the power of the physical and like mental ability that we all have. Something that might seem impossible, if you put your mind to it, if you've got friends around you and conversation is flowing, then for like almost anything is possible. So that's the reason I'm doing it. Really excited, really been enjoying the training. But yeah.
What is it about after the loss of your dad, what is it about the Samaritans that drew you to that charity? What was it? Is it the work that they do and the sort of the help that you got perhaps? Or what's the sort of reasoning between choosing them?
I think probably my family don't tend to be that open and we don't chat that much about various sort of emotional things, but kind of knowing that there is an outlet, there's people listening, there's people you can go to speak who you don't necessarily know, can make it easier. And even just like the support they've had from the Samaritans team over the past couple of months, checking in, being like, how's the training going? I actually had a call this morning from one of the team being like, how are you finding it? Obviously it's 6 weeks out. And just like having someone that's you don't necessarily know checking in just makes such a big difference. And as I said, kind of exploring the world of mental health over the past 5 years particularly is something that has drawn me to want to run for Samaritans this year.
And Tamsin, finally, what's your motivation for running for Samaritans this year?
Well, nothing quite so grand as these two, but I've run three marathons previously, and I've applied for London many, many times. And I am a Samaritan also. I'm passionate about mental health, so it just seemed that the stars aligned this year, that Samaritans were the lead, you know, sort of charity, and I got a place. So I was just really chuffed.
Oh, great. I mean, there's obviously a huge overarching connection between the reasons that you're all doing the marathon, probably use running in outside of training and just in general life, and that centres around the mental well-being that you can get from it. Andy, part of your story was obviously you got to a breaking point in your life due to work and stresses and the bag that you carry, that's the worries. What is it about running that helps you deal with that balance now? Is life a better balance for you?
I think running played probably one of the biggest impacts on my recovery from where I was to where I am now. And it's you know, I was always that person, I'm never going to run. You know, I was bigger than I am now. I think I was about 22 stone, heavy smoker. I was in a really, really bad way mentally. And then one day I decided to go for just to try it. Something came in, I just need to get out and go for a walk, and then got into running. And it gave me not only did it give me the almost a bit of peace just to be out, and especially trail running, love trail running, but it gave me that time to think and that release and the outdoors. It gave me what I needed at the time that I didn't realise I needed until I started doing it, and it was horrendous to begin with because I was so out of shape. But it was exactly what I needed, and took me from where I was to where I am now, which, don't get me wrong, I've still got a few extra pounds that I need to shed, but it's an amazing release. And it's, as I said, I think had I not found that, life would have been very, very different. And it also, one of the biggest things for me is it gave me goals. It was I lacked goals. I lacked a sense of achievement, sense of self-worth. Everything was on the floor. And then going from couch to my first 5K, it was all in my control. I could do that. And then from 5K to 10K, 10K to a half, half to a marathon. And in the end, did my first ultra marathon within a year of starting running because I had something to hold on to. And it gave me that piece that I needed. So, yeah, it's huge.
Am I right in thinking, Tamsin, that you got into running like relatively recently? It's not something you haven't been like a lifelong runner.
No, I've run over the years because I've had to, okay. Almost kicking and screaming. So I'm in the military, and it's, you know, very much you have to be fit and you have to do this. And so when I first joined the military, you had to run a mile and a half, you know, under a certain time. So I'd practice that, and I was always blowing out. It's always tedious and going through all of the training that I've gone through. A lot of it is more carrying packs and sort of almost doing that. Tabbing, as we call it, as we sort of talked about, you know, over the fan dance, penny fan, that kind of thing, weapon in hand, big pack on your back, and it's just hell on earth, you know, it's not very pleasant. And so running for me was, I got to do it. And so it's only, probably in about the last 5-6 years, my partner was big into running, and was sort of like, but you're really good, you know, and I'd not long finished training, commissioning within the Air Force, and so I was quite fit, having done that and having, you know, climbed lots of hills, and so it was like, but you could be really good. And it was like, I'm joining this run, do you want to join it? All right then. And so kind of go out running together and then doing it, and then of course you'd start getting your first little medal, and then it's like, oh, medal, rather than just, you know, finishing at the end of it, and it's like, yeah, right, well done, go and clean your kit, you know, make a fire or something horrendous that you do in the military. All of a sudden I've got a t-shirt and a medal. Where can I get another one of those ones, please, very much? You know, so that's what sort of got me going. So now I've got, you know, the wall full of medals. And just,
that's how it starts, yeah.
It does, because I always was like, why would anyone want to run that far? You know, and that was like half a marathon. Why would anyone want to run 13 miles? You know, why would, marathon, never going to do that. And now, here I am about to do my fourth, so yeah.
And have you found that it's been a boost to your own mental health as well, would you say that?
I think it naturally is. I mean, physical exercise of any description, walking all the way up to sort of running and ultras, and, you know, I've done one ultra. Absolutely. I've always found the outdoors is a wonderful place for me. It's my little church, you know, whatever you want to call it, getting out there. But yeah, absolutely. It's just, you know, we were sort of having a little chat earlier. Is it better to run with people or without people? Who cares? It doesn't matter. You know, I can do both. They both have their place, but at the very just shuffle along. And I think for me, the reason I hated running is because I always felt like it was you had to do a time, you had to get there. I think, of course, we now that we do run a bit more, you do have that pressure on yourself. Don't
but it's different,
time.
Isn't it?
It's different. Yeah, it's different pressure than the military. Go do it. But I think it's just a case of, you know, if I know now that if I go out running and it's all a bit too much, I slow down. You know, it's like, I never knew I could slow down.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's just mad, isn't it? You know, it's kind of like back off a little bit and breathe. Oh, that's a good idea. You know, so yeah, I've sort of become a little bit more clever about my running.
That's good.
Saskia, when your father died, you were very young. So obviously the sort of move into running being part of your life now, do you notice like a sort of part of the grieving process? Has it helped you in later life now that you've got a bit older to sort of process things, or do you just see it now as a great use of energy or you know, diverting that trauma into something more positive?
Yeah, I think it's a mix of both things, in that I definitely find that running, I mean, we were having this conversation earlier, it's such a rare time that you're doing something for a couple of hours. Like last week I had a 30 kilometer run to do, and I did it with a friend, and it's, you do that for 3 hours and that's like the sole focus. And particularly if you're doing it on your own, I find that it's that time to just think about things that you don't necessarily think if you're, you know, you're watching TV or distracted, you're making food or something. It's a time that you can solely think about your own thoughts. And I think it has allowed me to kind of explore those different aspects of grief and coming together with other people who have lost loved ones, who've had previous trauma. I've got a twin sister. She hates running. And it's something that she's now just moved to Australia. She's just...
To get away from the running.
I think she's just started to enjoy and appreciate exercise for that kind of mental escapism, be able to put any kind of pain or like negative energy, which sounds quite cliche, but genuinely using that as like your energy. I did a half marathon in Wimbledon a couple of weeks ago, and it was one of the hardest things I've ever done. It was so hilly, so muddy. It was basically tough mudder.
Yeah.
And it was two laps. So once you did the first lap, then you had another one to do. And running up the hill the whole time, I was like, there's a reason I'm training. There's a reason I'm doing it. Dad is above me watching somewhere.
Yeah.
And when we were younger, he used to always shout to, I've got three siblings, he used to always shout at all three of us being like, are you winners or are you losers? And we'd all shout back being like, we're winners. And when I was running the other week, I was like, this is why I'm doing it. I'm doing it to prove myself and also him that I can do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I love running. It's such a time for myself, and kind of what you were saying, Andy, like having that structure, setting your own goals, and then that sense of achievement afterwards is like no other. Like, it's fine to have that obviously with work or other things, but I think it's the physical kind of the effort that it requires, and then the relief afterwards, which has provided me with some like peace and encouragement.
Yeah, lovely.
What would you like to communicate through your running at the marathon this year, Andy?
I think that my overall message is that, you know, when I go training, when I go running, with, especially with that bag, people will stop, people will ask about it. And but that's because you can see it. That's because it's there, it's visible, it's in your face. But, you know, I'm sure there's some of us in here, some of us out in the office, out there, everywhere. We're all carrying a much heavier weight with us that, if we don't put it down from time to time, you know, it can lead to really devastating consequences. But I just want to let people know that might be wondering, why is he doing it? What's he doing it for? Just to let people know it's okay. I know, you know, I can see you carrying that weight. And Samaritans, I mean, I've got a fantastic example. Saturday, went for a run with some of the other Samaritans runners, and someone took my bag off me, and it was only for 10 minutes. They said, oh, can I carry it? Can I take your bag? And they're a Samaritans volunteer. And that's exactly the power of what happens when we talk about all this weight on our shoulders, is that, you know, we feel that we're a burden. We feel that we're going to give our weight to other people and they're going to take it and it's going to be their weight. But she took my weight. She had it on her shoulder. She was running for 10 minutes, 15 minutes with it. Just enough for me to be like, oh, I can breathe again. I can move. I can. And then I've got the weight back, but I had enough. I was able to have that rest, put the weight back on my shoulders, and then take it. So she didn't take it home with her. It was mine to take home. So for anybody that can see it, is that, yes, we know you've got your weight, but Samaritans are here to help with that. And, you know, you'll have to take it back at the end, but we can help you unpack it and take it, and it'll get a bit lighter because you've had that rest.
Well, great message, yeah.
Yeah, and I think as someone, because you actively put in a call to Samaritans when you were struggling, and I think that it's quite... I'm intrigued to get at how did you feel when you were doing that? Because I think the major problem that we come across with people struggling, and particularly men, I'd say, if you look at statistics, is that inability to communicate, or that not necessarily wanting to communicate. At what stage were you at? How did you finally sort of have the notion that I need help?
I was at a point in my life where I hadn't realised how bad I was getting and how bad I was feeling until I was, for example, I used to go to work and come home from work, I'd be in tears in my car, I wouldn't know why. I would draw from home, people at home, you know, I was losing myself in a big, big way, and it was a few points where I'd be on the phone in tears to my wife on the way to work, so I can't start, I don't know what's going on. And I remember sitting in a car park near my work thinking, I'm done. I haven't got anything left to fight with anymore.
Yeah.
And I think, as you said, first, as a man, it is really hard, because even me talking to you now, I'm still struggling for words, the nerves, the anxiety. Mm. And this is talking about something I know really, really well. You don't really understand your emotions a lot of the time. You don't understand why you're feeling like this. You feel bad, feel guilty, feel all of these kind of different emotions for feeling the way you do. And just having someone there to just, you know, you're looking like, and your head's like a tumble dryer, and this is an analogy we use quite a lot, and your thoughts, feelings going round and round and round really, really quickly. Having someone there to just help, just stop the tumble dryer for a minute and help unpack those clothes and pack them neatly, and the clothes are still there. It's the biggest relief, because all of a sudden it's almost like you can breathe, and you can, and you can start to think, actually, what bit of this do I need to work on first? And, you know, I ended up having quite a lot of time off of work and going through recovery and GPs and counsellors. But at the time, that was just so overwhelming. Even making one phone call, even doing the washing at home was the most overwhelming task in the world. So talking to someone, saying, you know, this is how I feel like I don't want to be here anymore, and I feel guilty because I feel like that, and I've got a family, I've got young kids, you know, and just having someone there to be, it's okay,
breathe, take your time, tell me what's going on for you. It's an incredible experience. It really, really is. And it's the power of talking. It helps you take the weight off your shoulders.
Yeah, exactly.
Thomas, I think you spoke in the past about your mental health and how that was sort of due to maybe your sexuality and having to deal with those kind of conversations. Could you tell us a little bit more about that?
So I unfortunately went through my childhood sort of thinking I might be gay but unsure, and who knew, and there was no role models. I mean, you're talking in an era of the sort of the 70s, 80s, and there was nothing on the telly, you know, and everything you ever heard about it was negative. I then joined the military, and within the Air Force, it was you can't be gay. Well, I thought, well, I'm not lying because I don't know if I am or not. Anyway, I got investigated and nearly kicked out and nearly lost my job.
Wow.
So everything about my sexuality was, it's wrong. So I withdrew and kept everything inside, never wanted to share with people, didn't want to have friends because I didn't want to get into those awkward conversations about, do you have a partner? You know, so it was just, when you keep it all inside, you've got that massive bag on your shoulders, haven't you? So for me, it was just, it was awful. So then, of course, you're not telling even your family, not telling friends. Some people you do, you know, kind of figure it out, and you've got your certain allies. But yeah, it was a horrendous quiet time. And I think to this day, it's probably makes me a little bit more standoffish than I probably would have been had that not happened to me. So, and then, you know, I had a terrible breakup, which then, you know, it's hard to sort of share things with people because, you know, you can't really tell people that you've broken up, or, you know, who have you broken up with. So, you know, it's not a pleasant place to be. I mean, at the time I lived in America for a while, and so I didn't know about the Samaritans. So everything was just internalized, and I was drinking very, very heavily, and alcohol and poor mental health does not go well together at all. And it is, it's like you say, it's a tumble dryer, but it's, you become so focused, you're just obsessed in your own head, you can't see a way out, and you do sort of think that I can't see a way out of this.
Yeah,
and of course absolutely there is a way out of it, you know. So so when I was really struggling and I didn't have the Samaritans, of course, in America, and my dad was an English and a history teacher and literature, and so he would always throw out a little quote here, there, and everywhere. And he was like, you're not alone, because he knew that I was sort of, you know, getting a bit to the end of it. He'd been called by my best friend to sort of go, I think you need to do something. Yeah. So I was sort of rescued by my dad. And he said, you know, he goes, you know, here's a thing, and he just said it, and I was like, what is that? And he goes, oh, it's a quote. It's by Henry Thoreau, but it's the mass of men live lives of quiet desperation, and go to the grave with a song still in them. And I think that's so apt, is that because you never know what people are going through. The mass of men, and it's talking men as in mankind. The mass of men live lives of quiet desperation because you never know what they're going through. But they go to the song go to the grave with a song still in them. Well, if they don't live and don't, you know, call the Samaritans, or they don't do something about it, get out and run, then you're not living. So live, you know. And so that was just like, that stuck with me, and I've shared it with so many people over the years who have just been like, oh my god, life-changing, you know. It's not my quote, not the dad's quote, but Henry Thoreau. But I just think I've had it tattooed on my side because I just think it's so powerful. So to me, that was almost that life-saving thing, you know, when I didn't have the Samaritans, unfortunately. But I sort of share it with as many people as I can.
That's lovely. What a great quote that is. Yeah.
This is the Runner's World podcast.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The way that you're running for this charity, raising money for the charity, but also volunteer and take these calls now, the calls that you've made, you're now on the receiving end of those. How does that change your perspective? Like, I mean, obviously, I'm assuming you're telling everyone to just go running straight away. No, but, you know, how does that change your, you know, your perspective and how you cope with these things and deal with stuff when you were in that position and you're now trying to help someone?
I think it's... First and foremost, it's an absolute privilege to be able to be there for people when they're in, at times, their darkest places, you know, and just to be able to provide that space for them, you know, and just to be able to say, it's okay, I'm here, take your time, you know. And it provides a lot of perspective on life. And, you know, even this conversation we're having here, just with us in here, you can see the richness of what goes on in people's lives, what people are experiencing, what people have gone through. And this is just a few of us in a room. And we're quite open, we're here to talk about this, but there's so many people that can't or haven't got anybody to talk to, or don't feel they can talk to. So being able to be that person who they can, it's an incredible privilege and an absolute, yeah, it is a real honour to be able to do that and be there.
Yeah. And Saskia, sort of in terms of what you've learned about the topic around suicide and how that's changed since you were younger into the present day, how do you feel about the sort of the work that happens with the Samaritans, but separately outside of that, just in the world in general, how has it changed for you in terms of people being more open about it, people having more conversations and centering it around like the things that you wish your dad had known? Like,
yeah, I think, I mean, it's so person dependent and kind of situation. But from my perspective, particularly over the past 2 years, I work in social media. That's kind of the area that I work in. I think that has been, obviously it has its negatives, but I think has been such a positive outlet for people, particularly in their 20s, who are running, who are influencers, who are sharing and spreading the impact that exercise can have. And I think particularly at the moment, there's a huge movement that I'm seeing on Instagram and TikTok of people in their 20s saying, speak up, let's go together, let's go to a run club. And if you are feeling alone, there are people around. I don't know whether it's because we're on the lead up to London, but I think particularly it's felt quite poignant over the past few months. As like in myself as well, it's something that I've been trying to be more open about, talking to friends. And as I said, like my twin sister, who is my best friend, my closest friend, I tell her everything. She's now in Sydney, so it's meant that I've had to find other people to talk to and have those conversations. And it's always can feel awkward and difficult, but actually once you like start breaching that and having the confidence to be like, you know, everyone's going through their own struggles that you don't see, and then taking a step back and just kind of breaching those conversations, like I've definitely seen a change in it. And a couple of my friends particularly who are also running the London Marathon for different charities, again, we were speaking about this earlier, it's so great just running with people and being able to have those slightly more sensitive conversations whilst you're on the move, rather than like if you're at dinner it seems so much more intense, or if you're having a coffee it can feel like a bit of an interrogation. But I think that's what is so brilliant about running, that you have that time, as I said earlier, like you have two or three hours with someone and you can just chat. And then even afterwards, like I rarely remember the conversation we've had, but it's just feeling like you can kind of breach that topic.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's a real catharsis to it. Like, it, as you say, you can kind of drift into an area of conversation that would feel so much sort of more sort of rigid if you were in a situation that wasn't the running. But actually on the run, you can be like, Yeah. Suddenly
it's
starts...
not facing each other, I think, is good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That side-on thing, that's actually...
Yeah. Yeah. It's a sort of known coaching technique is to take somebody for a walk, not necessarily run, but initially start out with that, just walking so that you can have that sort of... They've got that freedom to not be staring you in the eye, you know, awkward,
Have you thought about how you'll feel crossing the finish line in London?
I'll be in bits. I reckon I'll be in bits. I mean, it's in London anyway, isn't it? I mean, I love London. You know, it's near Buckingham Palace, you know, the Queen. Oh, my God. You know, she was my whole life. I joined the military. I pledged allegiance to the Queen, course, you know. Yeah. So when she died, God bless, I was in bits. So, I think it will be emotional anyway. But I think naturally... You know yourselves, runners, when you cross the finish line of any run, but especially a marathon, because of the amount of effort and work you've put into it, I think it's just always really, really emotional anyway. And I think then with it being, you know, the crowds for the Samaritans, it's something that I'm passionate about, you know, the message that we're sort of putting out there, you just sort of think it's saving lives as well. So, you know, but also, you know, you're selling a great story. You know, you're showing sort of the youth can do it, you know, with their stories, the middle-aged fat people, as he's calling himself, you know, overweight, you know, the older, slightly beyond middle-aged women can still do it, you know, who pick up their running shoes later in life. You know, it's for everybody, isn't it? And so, you know, I think, I'll be sobbing.
Yeah, it's a marvellous day. It's a marvellous day.
Yeah. I just want to put that bag down, wouldn't you?
I mean, that's definitely going through my mind, without a doubt. That will definitely, and I think that's the thing, though, isn't it, is that for me, when I get across that line, that bag is going down, you know, and I'll have to pick it up and take it home, but, you know, it's going to be down for a very long time after that. But for a lot of people, they're still going to be taking that with them, you know, and I'll still have my own bag that you just won't be able to see anymore, you know, don't get me wrong, just because, you know, as I said, that I went through what I went through years ago, still go through things today, so the bag's still going to be there, it's just not quite as good, but, you know, I can't wait to get across that line, can't wait to, so it's going to be fantastic.
And that community angle, as well, I mean, there'll be Samaritan cheer stations, I'm sure, lining the course, and you'll get a big shout as you go through, which is always a much needed lift as you're going, but I do think that sort of stuff is kind of sits at the core of what makes London great. You get this sort of these little pockets of shouting, but they're continuous. So if you've got your cause and you see your cause and you meet them and you get that cheer, but you'll get around the corner and Macmillan will be there and they're cheer for you too. And then you just carry on and it's such a good feeling, isn't it?
Yeah. I think you're right. It's like the least cynical day
in
the world. Everyone actually genuinely wants to do
it. Yeah, that's true.
I remember when I did the London Landmarks half last year, the Samaritan stand were on the South Bank and they were all like screaming and cheering and that injection of energy you feel when you start like sprinting off and
slow down.
Like another 10 miles left, but it makes such a difference.
It will be a great day, and thank you very, very much for your time coming on the Runner's World podcast. Wish you all the best in the marathon and spreading the really important messages that you are, so thanks very much for coming on.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
If you've been affected by any of the topics discussed on this week's episode, Samaritan's trained listening volunteers are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Calls are completely confidential and free of charge. Just call 116 123. A huge thanks to our guests, Tamsin, Andy and Saskia, and to you, of course, for listening.
Thank you again for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're running the London Marathon, all the best to you. You know, enjoy the crowds, basically. They're going to really pump you along. If you see these Samaritans en route, give them a wave. They'll have a cheer station. Yeah, it'd be great. Thank you again for listening, and you'll hear from us next week.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.